we turn to a story that's unfolding today. Literally, unfolding in Central Park. Almost 600 paid workers are working furiously to complete the vision of one man and one woman, the artist Christo and his wife Jean-Claude. When finished, this temporary artwork will consist of 7,500 fabric gates. Thousands of yards of saffron-colored fabric will float over 23 miles of pathways in New York's Central Park. It's a project that's taken 26 years to reach this point, and it will exist for only a little more than 2 weeks. Adam Sternberg is a writer for New York Magazine. He wrote an article about Christo and Jean-Claude and their gates, which appeared in the January 24th issue of the magazine. He joins us now by cell phone from Central Park. And thanks so much for checking out the scene with us today.
Oh, not at all. It's my pleasure.
So it sounds like it's a little windy there, because it's certainly windy here in Washington.
Yeah, it's quite windy here. It's a little bit noisy, but it's actually quite a beautiful look at the gates, because sort of slightly overcast, but they're quite a sight.
So, first of all, tell us where you are and tell us what these gates look like.
I'm in the southern part of Central Park right now, close to the area called the Sheep's Meadow. And basically, every direction I turn in, you will see gates, these saffron-colored gates stretching off in all directions. They are lining all the paths in the park, and they're about 16 feet high, and they range, some of them are about 6 feet wide, depending on the width of the path. But it's quite remarkable. I mean, there's literally hundreds of gates within my visual field just where I'm standing here.
Wow. And they are not, I said they were unfurled, but they're still, the fabric's still tied up around them. Is that right? They're actually going to be cut loose. Is it on Sunday or Saturday?
I'm sorry, you'll have to repeat that.
Sure.
I couldn't hear you.
Sure. The fabric is actually tied to the gate at the moment, but they're going to be cut loose and flutter in the wind later over the weekend?
Yes, that's right. The actual saffron-colored fabric hasn't been released yet. I believe that the cocoons, that's what they're calling them, that contain the fabric are on the gates now, but they haven't been released yet.
I see. Okay. So are there a lot of people actually watching these things as they're being erected, or are they mostly, I guess they're mostly erected by now?
Yeah, I think most of the work has been done, although as it happens, just quite close to where I'm standing, there's a crew putting up some of the last few gates, so they haven't quite finished. I think they may have been detained somewhat by the big blizzard we had here a couple of weeks ago, but they had factored that into their plan. And there's quite a few people walking around having a look. They seem to be split evenly between people who purposely came to see the game and people who are kind of curious as to what all this is about. I imagine this weekend, though, once they have been unfurled and it officially opens, there will be quite a flood of people to see them.
Now, how are these going to stand up in the wind? Because I remember that there was a Christo installation, I guess you have to call it, that involved umbrellas that actually wound up causing an accident.
Yes. Well, of course, they took that into account. I mean, this is obviously something that they were quite concerned about. As it turned out, the material they used to build the gates, they had originally intended to build them out of steel, but it was impossible to work out a way with the park that they could anchor steel. The people of Central Park didn't want them to dig holes and plant these gates. So they ended up using vinyl, which is actually will turn out to be much sturdier in the wind because it has more give. So, I mean, they built several test gates and tested them at the home of the main engineer, Vince Davenport, in Washington State, and they've put them through basically every kind of test they could come up with to make sure that they would be sturdy and stay in place.
Now, you mentioned that there were some negotiations that had to take place with the New York City Parks Department, and I said at the start that this took 26 years to bring to fruition. There must have been a lot of negotiations, not with just the Parks Department.
Oh, certainly. I mean, every one of the Christo's artworks, their art installations, require a huge amount of logistical planning and negotiations just by their nature. But this one, I think, was especially, they've described it as logistically the most difficult of their pieces. And I don't think that's necessarily related to the engineering of it, but to sort of the layers of government they had to go through. I mean, Central Park is obviously an extremely cherished public space in New York. And when they initially proposed this in the late 70s, you know, it's a very different place than it is now. It wasn't a place that people felt particularly safe in, and I think the city's priority at that point was simply to restore the park to something that the city could be proud of. Obviously, they've been able to do that over the last 20 years, and all that time, the Christos have sort of been continually petitioning the city, and they finally found an administration that was receptive to it.
We're talking with New York Magazine writer Adam Sternberg about this new installation by the artist Christo and his wife Jean-Claude. We'd like to hear from you, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or send an email, totn@npr.org. Maybe you've seen one of these installations that Christo has done. I actually saw the one he did when he wrapped the Pont Neuf in Paris, which maybe dates me, I don't know, maybe not, but he's wrapped islands, he's put his sheets through Marin County, so a lot of really really interesting and sort of grand ideas from this artist. Any idea, Adam Sternberg, how much this particular piece of work is going to cost, and who's paying?
The budget for the work is $21 million.
Can you repeat that, because you dropped out just right there.
The budget is $21 million.
Right.
And the work is being paid for entirely by Christo and Jean-Claude, the artists.
Wow. And as I gather, they actually wind up, they sell things related to the production, but the production itself is just their gift.
Yes, that's correct. They raise all the money for the pieces through selling their own artwork. And this it's not costing the city anything. They're paying for the salaries not only of the workers who are assembling it, but also the city workers who've been supervising the Central Park authorities. They also have $1 million gift to Central Park as part of the agreement to stage the artwork here.
All right. I'd like to turn now to someone who understands Christo a bit better than I can put his, and I a bit better than I and can put his work into the context of contemporary art. Robert Storr is a professor of modern art at the Institute of Fine Arts in New York. He's also a former senior curator of painting and sculpture at the Museum of Modern Art in New York. He joins us now from the Neue Gallery, the Museum of German and Austrian Art in New York City. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
So I understand you can see the park from your window. Can you see the gates streaming out through the parkland?
Absolutely. Actually, I saw a wonderful ordinary yellow school bus go by the sort of orangish gates, and it looked beautiful together.
So tell me about this artwork. I mean, it has this, I mean, it's sort of a strange concept. I mean, certainly wrapping a bridge or wrapping the Reichstag or hanging a curtain or putting up these gates. How does that fit into the concept of modern art?
Well, there's been for my 50 years now a group of artists who have seen their task as different in a sense from what many people think art consists of, which is representing the world. They see it in terms of making what is already in the world more visible to us and visible to us in different ways. And in a sense, what Christo has done is to make a marker that draws attention to the fabric of the city, a particular part of the city, draws attention to the way in which people move through it, relate to one another, and so on. And as beautiful as the gates are themselves, they are, in a sense, only a part of the artwork, and the other part of the work is the world which is already there, but which we pass by often without paying any attention at all.
Is the scale of the work important?
I think it is in two senses. One is it is big enough to really be sweeping. This is an immense city with tall buildings and great expanses. It has to be a very bold mark, if you want to put it back in those terms. On the other hand, there's every effort not to overwhelm the viewer, not to make people feel small in relation to art or this particular project. So the scaling is very interesting. You can see now from where I am clearly how people will walk around them. In a way, they're kind of like the Shinto gates in Japan, in the Shinto temples, which have much the same color. And those are very human spaces, and these are very human-scaled objects.
I'd like to invite our listeners to join the conversation. Please call us at 800-989-8255. And let's go to Ayla in Marcolo, Oregon. Ayla, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I totally agree with these two words, marker and drawing attention, in relation to Christo's work. In the early 70s, I was living on one of those communes in western Sonoma County, California. And Christo's fence cut across the windswept, bare, sheep-grazed hillsides on its way out to the ocean near where I lived. And I, there was a commotion of this fence coming through, and a lot of the local hippies were hired to help construct it. I understand that he makes use of local labor and that the fence itself was constructed by Appalachian women on their treadle sewing machines.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was kind of like an eye-rolling kind of event, you know, oh, what'll I think of next? But when the fence went up and across the coast highway, it was startlingly effective in defining the landscape in a way that I had not been able to do for myself driving past or walking over the hills. It was very beautiful, and I feel so honored to have spent those few weeks in the company of that fence. This man has a wonderful vision and a great motivation, I think, in his work.
Ayla, thanks for that. Robert Storr, go ahead.
Yes, I could just comment a minute. I think the running fence is indeed one of the most beautiful things Christo's ever done. But there's a difference between this one and that. Running fence went through a natural landscape. It was an agricultural one, but it's the normal turn of the land. Central Park itself is a work of art. It's one of Olmsted's great accomplishments, and this is almost like a dialogue between two artists at the top of their form about how the land is experienced.
All right. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to another call now. How about Rose in San Jose, California? Rose, welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning. I have a comment more than a question, and it might sound really unsophisticated of me, but to me this whole thing seems silly. $21 million for cloth. There are people hungry in that city, homeless. Are these people serious? Do they really think that a small minority group of quote-unquote avant-garde artsy people that sit around and talk for hours about a big canvas with two swatches of black paint on it can really dictate to the rest of the world what art really is? And I can take my answer off.
It's an important point. I'd encourage you to stay on for a second, Rose, to see what Robert Storr has to say about that.
Can I respond here?
Sure.
First of all, Christo comes out of the milieu of the avant-garde, which was indeed very small and sometimes quite elitist. But what he's done with his art is to take ideas that were hatched, if you will, in that milieu, and bring them to the widest possible public. I mean, this is not a piece that exists for some kind of an elite, far less than things you can find in galleries here along Fifth Avenue. This is a work of art which is available free of cost to 8 million, 10 million, 12 million people. And the thing is, I've seen also other Christo projects, and people use them. And they use them for pleasure. They use them for creating communities. Basically, they come out and they meet each other. There are all kinds of aspects of this which have little to do with what people think of as avant-garde art and a great deal to do with creating a public space and, in a sense, recreating what is, in this case, already a public space.
Convinced, Rose?
I have one question to ask. When you mentioned that it's free to the public, it is not free. It has cost them $21 million. Why don't they sell each swatch of cloth for a dollar and then put the money where it's needed? You know,
okay.
Maybe another dimension to this quote-unquote art.
Okay.
But
to
pay that much money for something that, it seems frivolous to me. It really does. And like I said, maybe I am not sophisticated.
Okay. Well, Rose, no, I think it's an interesting point. I'm glad you came on and made it.
Can I make a comment about this?
Sure.
This $21 million is a lot of money for me and for Rose and for a lot of us, but in the larger scheme of things, it's not as big as all that. And I remember years ago, Leontine Price, the opera soprano, who was defending the budget for the National Endowment for the Arts, and some of the arguments raised against the spending money in the arts were pretty much the same. And she said, I thought very cleverly, she said, you know, if we make every one of the nuclear submarines 1 foot smaller, the Russians won't know the difference, and we will have opera.
Okay, that's a good way to look at it. Adam Sternberg, are you still with us on the line?
Yes, I am, yes.
I'm sorry I haven't been back to you, but just apropos of Rose's comments, can you tell yet whether anybody on the ground in Central Park is going, What is this nonsense? Or are people more, would you say, intrigued and excited about it?
Well, I think generally the initial reaction among a lot of people, and I think this has happened to the Christos in many places they've gone, is, well, how much is this going to cost us? And I think a lot of people in New York assume that this is something that in some way is being funded by the city or is taking money away from other city programs. But as people come to understand, you know, what this is and the fact that, you know, certainly $20 million is a lot of money to spend on a piece of art, but as Claude likes to say, well, she could spend it on a mansion or jewelry or so. I mean, it's their money, and this is how they choose to spend it. People are starting to see it more and more as a kind of gift to the city. And I've definitely noticed an increased amount of excitement just on the street level, even over the last 3 or 4 weeks. As people, it's gone from sort of what are the gates to people actually understanding it and seeing it come to fruition here in the park.
Okay, we have a quick email here from Eileen, who writes from Fargo, North Dakota. For those of us who will be unable to visit New York, is there a website where we can see what is happening? Adam Sternberg, do you know the answer to that?
Well, I know the Christo and Jean-Claude themselves have a website, and the address is christojeanclaude.net. I'm not sure, perhaps Robert knows if there's a site that is actually featuring sort of updates on what's happening here in the park.
Robert Storer?
I don't actually know. I'm internet deficient.
Well, I have a feeling, first of all, that if you read Adam Sternberg's article in New York Magazine, there's a picture, and Adam did a beautiful job of describing the fences, so you can capture it in your mind's eye. Second of all, I know that it's going to be on television. And third of all, sure, go visit New York. You shouldn't stay in Fargo, North Dakota. It's nice in New York. Anyway, I want to thank my guest this hour. Robert Storer is a professor of modern art at the Institute of Fine Arts in New York and former senior curator of painting and sculpture at the Museum of Modern Art in New York. He joined us from the Neue Gallery Museum in New York City. Also, I'd like to thank Adam Sternberg. He's a writer for New York Magazine. He wrote about an article about Christo and Jean-Claude in the January 24th issue. He joined us by cell phone from Central Park. In Washington, I'm Joe Palca, NPR News.